As an ice cream lover, vanilla is one of those flavors that's just always going to hit the spot. It's comforting and nostalgic, and it goes well with whatever mood I'm in. But sometimes vanilla can be a little boring, if you catch my drift. Sometimes I'm in the mood for chocolate or cookie dough or maybe something wacky, like pistachio if I'm feeling frisky. Whether it's a midnight snack or an afternoon delight, my friends at adamandeve.com can get you the right flavor for whatever mood you're in. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. But that's not all. When you select your one free item, you'll also get a free kit that includes an item for him, something special for her, and something we know you'll both enjoy. They offer discreet shipping as your privacy is a priority, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. Just enter offer code Abby, A-B-B-Y, at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby, code Abby.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, it's Cassie, and have y'all seen those cute pins floating around the internet that look like a charging status so you can tell people where you're at with your social battery and whether or not you need to be left alone? Right now, mine would be hovering just above red. I've been so busy that I'm just drained and I need to recharge, which means hibernating without seeing anybody. And you know what made me realize that was okay to do? Therapy. I thought I was being lazy, but in reality, I was giving my body and mind some much-needed R&R, and that wasn't a bad thing. In fact, it was a good thing. Therapy changed my perspective, and that's why I'm a big advocate for therapy, like the kind you can get with BetterHelp. Therapy isn't just for people who have experienced severe trauma. It's to give you the tools to deal with everyday issues that are bugging you, big or small. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BurtShow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BurtShow.
The Burt Show.
Well, we're bold enough to say, go ahead, ask us anything on social media. And Rebecca has been taking your questions, and we have not seen these. We have to answer them honestly. All right, Rebecca, fire away.
Woo!
Hype yourself up.
Okay.
Yeah, Tommy told me to do that.
Is that you being more excited?
That's me working on my energy.
I said, Tommy, Rebecca sounds like she's asleep when she's in the studio. Can you help us out with a little?
Did you really?
Pretty much.
I think it's just my voice.
Everybody jumped when you did that.
Yeah, you
were
like,
not expecting that.
I was like, that came out of...
From deep.
I like it.
Rebecca's very even keeled.
Yes.
Yes.
Which you are not used to.
No. I like that.
I'm a little reserved. I've been told I have NPR voice.
I will tell you that they fought for you in the meeting, though. They're like, no. Her voice separated from all your fake hyperness.
It's distinctive. Yeah. All right, Bert. What happened on your first date post divorce that you're embarrassed to talk about?
On my first date, I think that they're talking about the rice incident. Is that what they're talking about?
No, but you've disclosed that, so they would know what you were talking about.
I think what you guys are getting confused on was it wasn't my first date after divorce, but I was going out with a girl, and I had maybe gone out with her two or three times, and we were at a Mexican restaurant, and she had a piece of rice on her face, like just over her lip, and rather than tell her, hey, you got a little something going on over there, my dumbass reached over and like grabbed it off of her face.
But
I think I might have eaten it.
That makes sense.
I was out of the game for a while.
Okay.
And right. I quickly got out of
rusty.
It. I was quickly retired from that specific game also. And I understand why she never hit me back. But it wasn't the first date. But I understand why they're confused by it.
All right, Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
You guys claim you're family, but how come Kristen didn't invite anyone to her son's birthday party?
Yeah, I sent this one.
Did you now? Insert heavy sigh here.
It feels like you've been waiting to answer this. Is this one that you get a lot?
No.
Okay.
No, I just, it's, I'm not going to say it's infuriating, because that would be like, it's not that big of a deal, but if you listened to the show, you would know that for my son's birthday party, it's a kid's birthday party, so I invited all the kids from the Burt Show. So I invited Eliza, Bert's stepdaughter, but mm-hmm. she had a swim meet, and Bert and Tiffany and Eliza were at the swim meet that weekend. I invited Hazel and Max, Cassie's kids, and they came to the birthday party. And there were pictures of them on my Instagram. I invited all three of Kaylee's kids, but they had like soccer tournaments and a bunch of activities going on that weekend. The only person with, I invited Tracy's kids, both of her daughters, but they had activities. Spring's obviously a very big time and people are very busy. The only person without kids I invited was Katie because she watches Jimmy and they're very close, but she had just had surgery on her nose and was recovering, so she couldn't make it. And because I love and care about the singles without kids on the show, I was not going to invite them to a child's birthday party and make them miserable for an entire afternoon.
That makes you a very good person.
Thank you. So,
I agree.
Yes.
I would have came just for the cake.
I did make really good cupcakes.
You made those?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, no, I made
them. They're so good. I thought you had, like, bought them from a bakery.
No, that was me.
Oh, damn, they're
Whoa.
So good.
Thank you.
I think we're off message.
Yeah, we are. Anyway, so, yes, we do claim to be family because we are.
Why are you frustrated by the question itself?
Because the question is insulting because we talked about this. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't like people making accusations when they don't have all the information. If they just would have asked like, hey, did you invite anybody to on the show to Jimmy's birthday party? They had a very pointed accusation that I did not invite anybody from the show, which is not accurate. It's the way it was worded. It's not the question. It's the way it was worded.
It feels like they're searching for discredit for some reason.
They were looking for some kind of gotcha moment.
Right.
And it's like, if you listen to the show and if you like were following us on social media, like I don't appreciate the intent behind the question.
Agreed.
It was rude.
Yeah, next time listen. Mo.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever bombed at a stand-up show? What happened?
Well, I feel like saying it now. Let me knock on wood. Fortunately, no, I've never bombed per se. I did have a really bad outing, which was like my third show at the time. I think I was a little too confident because I did so well on my first two that I went out there and I didn't take the art as seriously as I should have at that time. And it was like a who is who from all of the Love and Hip Hops, like all of those VH1 reality shows that were really big at that time. And I was up there with comedians who had been doing it 20 years, 15 years, 10 years in a green room with them. This is my third time being on stage. And I thought I was going to go out there and just rock it like I did at the other clubs that it had five people in it. And I knew instantly, like when my first joke didn't go, I just didn't respond well. And it was like the longest 7 minutes of my life.
Oh, no.
Like they didn't boo me. But, like, the people were sitting in the crowd, like, staring at me, like, what are you doing here? Like, how did you end up in this position? And I remember giving a fake name and walking off the stage. I made up a random name because I didn't want them to, like, Google me and remember me from that night.
It was Schmosh Mitchell.
Yeah, something like that. And that's as close as I ever got to bombing. I took it very seriously from that day moving forward.
You're like, thank you, everybody. My name is Cat Williams.
Yeah. Thank you for coming out.
Have a good night.
Yeah. Abby. Your brother seems to be a sensitive topic for you. Are you looking for acceptance from him?
Ooh.
Deep.
Everyone got like lighthearted questions. This is like something my therapist would ask me. Looking for acceptance from him. I think my brother is a sensitive topic for me for a lot of reasons. A lot of it has to do with my family dynamic and the way that I was raised in certain dynamics, in certain situations I was in growing up. And so as I've gotten older, I think I thought that those situations would diffuse and they haven't. And I think a lot of the sensitivity that you see when I talk about my brother is sort of resentment for that not being resolved.
Oh, wow. Mm. So do you have any plans to like sit him down at some point and say, hey, can we talk about our past? Or how does that work between brother and sister?
So I think that's what's frustrating is that there's really no... my brother is just not that type of person. You know what I mean? I was telling KK this when we went out to breakfast one day. I was like, I think I've just accepted that this is just how our relationship is. Like, I can't really change who he is. And he's not going to be the brother that I think I'm not going to be the sister that he wants me to be. And he's not going to be the brother that I wish I had grown up with.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Deep.
Yep.
All right.
Well answered.
Cassie.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that Britney Spears is secretly dead? The conspiracy theory is kind of convincing.
Man, I find conspiracy theories to be very dangerous, but yes. I think she's disappeared for years. I think her last album was recorded by an artist called Maya Marie.
Are you joking right now? Are you serious?
No, check out their voices. Actually, there was a track going around labeled for Glory, the last album, that had Maya's name on it. They sound exactly alike. I don't think she's dead, but I do think she's away from the spotlight, and perhaps they're putting someone else in the spotlight for a while. But if you go deep, there are lots of differences between old Britney and new Britney. But it could just be a woman who's really struggling with her mental health and getting older. So that's why I don't buy into conspiracy theories too much, but they are kind of fun.
All right. Spooky. Rebecca, next time we do this, can you tone it down a little bit?
Woo! Supercha. Cassie, I would love to talk about your cleaning up your social.
Yeah, so there is something you can do if you are feeling overwhelmed by the amount of people that you're following on social. And I started to get really irritated lately because I'm looking at social media, and right now on TikTok, there's this thing that's called the moon phase. So you see what the phase of the moon you and your significant other were in when you were born, and if it makes a full moon, you're meant to be. And I'm like, I do not care. I don't care about your relationship to that degree. Congratulations. Stop posting about your horoscopes. I don't care. And I'm getting enraged. I'm like, why? These people are just living their lives. Like, stop being such a bee, Cassie. You know, stop getting your panties in a twist. And then I came across something called the grocery store rule. And I did this, and I also took a little step back from social, and I have felt so much happier. Here's the thing. If you were to run into someone in the grocery store and you wouldn't be excited to see them, and we all know that feeling.
Uh-huh.
When you see someone in the grocery store and you're like, oh God, or Target, and you duck down an aisle, because it's not that you hate them. You just don't want to have a conversation with them and do the, hey, how are you? We should get a drink. So good to see you. Let's get brunch. If you would not be happy to see that person and stop and talk to them, you don't need to be following them on social media. So unfollow them. That is the grocery store rule. I'm talking people from high school you don't talk to.
I struggle with that.
Yeah, maiden name. If you have to look at someone, you're like, who is this? Because they got married and you had no idea and you didn't recognize their new name. You don't need to follow them. And once you declutter that and you stop seeing all this gobbledygook from everywhere, you know, you just it's just cluttering up your mental space, and you, get rid of it. Get rid of it. If you're not happy to see them in the grocery store, do not follow them on social media.
So I did this not that long ago, where there were certain accounts that were making me feel bad about myself. And so whenever their stuff would pop up, I was doing like this comparison is a thief of joy thing. And while I was happy for them, it was my own like, this is a me thing, not a them thing. They're living their life. They're doing their thing on social media as they should. And so I went through and I unfollowed a ton of people. And I was actually talking to a colleague, and they brought somebody up, and I go, listen, I'm really happy for her, but she was making me feel real bad about myself. So, and she goes, good for you for like recognizing like for your mental health that you can like, you can root from afar, but it was something that you needed to take a break from.
Yeah. You don't have to look at other people's lives. You don't have to look at their kids if you don't want to. Unfollow.
The Burt Show.
All right, so she's wondering, she's got to make a big old decision here. Should she choose her dream job or her dog? What do you got going on? Hit us up at theburtshow.com. Cassie has the email.
Hey, Burt Show. I've been listening to your show via the podcast for almost 2 years now. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and hearing adult conversation makes the days a little less lonely and a little more manageable.
Yeah, we just had a real great adult conversation about naked celebrity couples. Are you sure you're writing the Burt Show?
I was hoping I could get your and your listeners' advice on a particular problem I have. Like I said, I'm a stay-at-home mom to 3 kids under 3. And I'm going to pause, actually, because there is a trigger warning for this for postpartum depression and self-harm. So just a heads up. I'm a stay-at-home mom to 3 kids under 3. It's busy, but I wouldn't change a thing. And after I had my second son, I went through postpartum depression really badly. I began self-harming and had intrusive thoughts, and they almost got the best of me. Praise the Lord for a supportive husband who saw and helped me as he could. It took so much to get out of that headspace, and one of the ways I learned to cope was through baking. I found making cakes, cupcakes, bread, etc. was instant gratification for something that I did that was good. I started having friends and family order cupcakes from me, and from there it led to a small in-home business that I absolutely love. It's not only good for my mental health, but financially it's been a tremendous help. My husband's a teacher and works so hard to provide for us. He's taken up 4 stipends, which are extracurricular activities, like coaching track, play director, etc., to make extra money, and he works in the summer to make ends meet. Having baking money come in has been incredible. Our current family car is a 2012 Corolla, and we're saving up to buy a minivan or SUV. I'm not exaggerating when I say baking could buy us a car, LOL. Here's the problem. When I began, I didn't think this is what would come of it, and I didn't do any research into home bakeries. When my orders started picking up, we started to do research, and we learned we need a cottage kitchen license. No big deal. We started the process and learned that in our state, part of the criteria is that pets and animals can never have access to your kitchen. We have a 4-year-old Rottweiler that we love, but the way our house is laid out makes it impossible for us to make that happen. I don't want to make him an outside dog, but I don't know of any other option. We don't have the money to build a separate kitchen or rent a storefront. A health inspector will inspect our house and do random visits throughout the year to make sure my kitchen is up to code, so lying on the application license is out. We're heavily considering rehoming him. Does that make us bad people? Mm. Baking has become my dream job, and I'm so scared that if I stop baking, I'll go into a downward spiral. Please help with any ideas or suggestions. Would you choose your dream dog or your dream job or your dog?
All right, so for some of you that don't have dogs or don't have pets, this is an easy decision for you. Others that do, I mean, they become part of the family, right? So rehoming them just breaks your heart. I'm still living with the shame of having to rehome my dog, Tyra, who was, I wouldn't spend enough time with her. She was unhappy. She was crapping all over the place. My fiance was allergic to her hair also, so I had to rehome her back to our initial trainer. And I still live with that shame. But I am living with the happiness knowing that she found a home and she's ecstatic. She's so happy that it was a really, really good decision. And had we not, and had Jenny not found the exact right home for her, I would have nightmares about it every single day, right? But I know that she's happy, so I'm good. So the only advice I would give here is if you are going to rehome that dog, you have got to make sure that they are in a family that loves that dog as much as you do, or you will not be able to live with yourself.
100%. I don't think it makes you a bad person to rehome your dog, especially if you're taking the precautions to go out of your way to make sure that it's an environment that your dog's going to be really happy in. It just breaks my heart. Like, the thought of having to rehome any of my pets, I have a cat now, but I grew up with dogs. And so there's just something really special about that bond that I can't imagine ever breaking up. But like, if this is going to support you and your family and your mental health, like, I think you're not a bad person for doing it. It's just a hard decision you have to make.
So yeah. What would you do in this case?
For me, I personally couldn't do it. I've never experienced postpartum depression. So I don't know what that would do to me and what kind of decisions I would have to make because of that. The thought of giving away my cat, like, would destroy me though.
I feel like this is a situation where I would want to do what I can until I could do what I want. So, I mean, if it would be possible, what I would want to do is if I have to make him an outside dog for a little bit while until I get these things off the ground and I can build something better for him, I would try to do that. If that's not possible, then I would try to make sure he finds a home where he deserves to be. Because if mentally you're not okay and you are aware that you're going to go into that downward spiral, you're not going to be any good for the dog either. So you got to look at it that way. And so with that in mind, give them away if you have to, but I would try to find a way to use the money that I'm making to build something better for them.
Yeah, I think anybody that has had to rehome a dog goes above and beyond. You give 150% before you make that final decision.
As someone who went through postpartum depression and had the intrusive thoughts and all of this, you have to find your rock to get through it. It is a dark, dark place and no one truly understands, even though they're trying to help you. Baking is her rock. This bakery is her rock and it got her through. I love dogs as if they're family, but you should not put a dog or an animal above your own mental health and your family's well-being. And that's what you're talking about here. And so I think the best decision for you and your family is to find your dog a new place where they can be loved, and then you can thrive as a family.
The Burt Show.
She wakes up in the middle of the night. Her boyfriend isn't in bed with her. So she goes to investigate. And there he is in the living room drinking with her roommate. Major offense or not, is it a ditch or date?
I've been dating my new man for a few months now, and everything was going great until last Friday night. Ooh. He stayed over at my place, and when I woke up at 4 a.m., he was not in bed with me. Mm. Instead, I found him in the living room drinking wine and laughing it up with my roommate. I was confused and annoyed. I asked my boyfriend why he wasn't in bed with me, and he said he couldn't sleep and didn't want to disturb me. He claimed he just went to the living room to watch TV and have a glass of wine. It all just felt weird and disrespectful. When I confronted my roommate about the situation, she seemed surprised that I was upset. She said they were just having a casual chat and enjoying each other's company, and that I was overreacting.
Let me interject super quick. So, a casual chat with your roommate. Not an issue. If it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I think it's, is it the time? The fact that it's 4 a.m.?
That is weird to me.
While she's sleeping?
Well, it's also bizarre to me. Like, why is the roommate also conveniently up?
At 4 a.m. It's not like it's like midnight or even 1. I might push that. But 4 a.m. Who drinks wine at 4 a.m.? Who like wakes up in the middle of the night and is like, you know what I'll do? Some TV and some wine.
Well, I mean, I was definitely drinking at 4 a.m. when I was in my 20s.
After you went to bed, though? Like, and you couldn't sleep? That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the weird part. Staying up straight through, no problem. Going to bed, going to sleep, saying, oh, then I couldn't sleep, so I woke up and drank some wine.
He said he couldn't sleep, though. So maybe he got out to have some wine to kind of try to put him in that mindset to go to sleep. Because I know some people will have a glass of wine to help him sleep.
Your logic has no place here.
By the way, PSA, alcohol does not help you sleep. It's actually worse for your sleep, so don't do that.
No, it's a fact, though.
So my boyfriend also said that I was being unreasonable and that he didn't think he did anything wrong. But here's the thing. I feel like it's disrespectful to leave your partner alone in bed while you go and hang out with someone else, especially when that someone else is your partner's roommate.
All right, time out. Let's interject one more time. If it was a male roommate, do you think she would have had an issue with it?
Nope.
Mm-mm. Probably less of an issue.
So then I feel like it's disrespectful to leave your partner alone in bed while you go and hang out with someone else. Someone else of the sex that they are attracted to. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Also, calling it the roommate, like if I'm living with friends and my partner did this and hung out with one of my friends at 4 a.m. who I happen to live with, literally would not care.
Yeah.
But if it's a random roommate who I don't know super well and we just started living together, I think that's when I'd have an issue.
Okay, continue. Anyway,
it's not like they were old friends catching up or something. They had only met a few times before. I'm upset with both of them, but I don't know if I'm overreacting. Some of my friends say that I should ditch them both. Should I let this incident slide or consider it a red flag? Any advice or opinions would be greatly appreciated. Thanks in advance, Brianna.
What do you think, Abby?
I think that she doesn't trust her roommate or her boyfriend, because I think if you really had trust in this person that you're dating, this wouldn't raise a red flag for you. You'd just be like, oh, yeah, I know my roommate. They're fine. Oh, I know my boyfriend. Like, he drinks wine at 4 a.m. It's like a very normal thing. This must be very out of the ordinary for him, and this is why it's raising a red flag.
Well, they've only been together for a few months, so it's still fairly new. So do you think it's disrespectful or no if somebody does that?
I think it's disrespectful considering it's a person the same sex that he's attracted to.
I agree. I think she got to work on some of those insecurities. I mean, I understand the awkwardness of it all, but I feel like there's some key information missing, and she's jumping to conclusions. Because I'm looking at it like if I was in his shoes, and I couldn't sleep, and that was my thing, to go have a glass of wine. And then a roommate comes out after and just sits down and starts talking to me. What am I really supposed to do? Say, if my girlfriend catches you talking to me, I'm in trouble. You should go back in your room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would seem a little bit crazy. So maybe he really didn't have a choice but to just sit there awkwardly because she came out after. And then if you come out and start making assumptions based off of just that, I would tell you, babe, you got to work on them insecurities because nothing is going on here.
So I'm
going
to put you in her shoes. So you're in bed. Your girl is there. You wake up. She's not there. And you go out into the living room and she's there drinking and talking with your roommate, who's a guy.
Mm-hmm.
You going to be upset about it?
I wouldn't be upset immediately, but I would have some questions for sure. Like, I would be like, let me holler at you in the room real quick. And then I would want to know, let me get a second of your time. And I would want to know how this came to be. And then if she told me I was just out there, I couldn't sleep, and he came, sat down and started talking to me, I wouldn't think anything of it.
Cass?
I think Mo's right. I think she's got some jealousy going on. Understandable. I don't think you should ditch either of them, but I do think it's a tiny red flag, like a meatball, toothpick-sized red flag.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep an eye out, but continue to date.
The Bert Show.
All right, y'all didn't ask for a Dr. Seuss breastfeeding book, but by God, I'm going to give you a Dr. Seuss breastfeeding book.
Give the people what they want.
What they never even asked for. Yesterday, we had a listener email us, and it was about her husband and that he was uncomfortable when his sister was breastfeeding in front of him. He couldn't bring himself to ask his sister to cover up because he didn't want to see Sissy's boobs. As Bert so eloquently said, Mama.
Mama don't want to see Sissy's boobies no more, Mama.
So he went to his mom and told his mom, hey, Sis is pulling out her tatas while she's breastfeeding. I don't want to see it. Mom said she would say something to her. Don't know if she did or not. So now he's asking his wife, who is not related to the breastfeeder, saying, will you please ask my sister not to pull her boob out when they come visit? And of course, we were all team boob, team mom, breastfeed. Like, dude, grow up. Get a pair. Like, go to another room if it's making you that uncomfortable, right? But y'all started, and I don't even know how it started, but Cassie, you were talking about different places to breastfeed.
Yeah, I was saying, like, I have breastfed on a bench. And then I forget what else I said, something like along those lines, just saying, I've breastfed in public in multiple places. People can look away. And then Mo added to it, and it was like straight bars.
Yeah, no, Bert started and goes, Bert goes, you can breastfeed on a bench. You can breastfeed with a wrench.
And then I said, you can breastfeed on a chair. You can breastfeed anywhere.
And thus was born, as a team effort, the Dr. Seuss breastfeeding book. So I spent time last night with my college degree putting this together.
It's your degree in literature? Because clearly that's what this is.
100%. Actually, it's in journalism, so I'm kind of use it, but not really. And so, I and my son, we have Dr. Seuss books. So, yes, I even read through some of my Dr. Seuss books to get really into the character. Mm-hmm. And I thought the perfect title for our story is, Oh, the Places You'll Breastfeed.
That's good. Oh, he was really in his own.
Oh, I love it.
Instead of, oh, the places you'll go.
Yes.
Oh, the places you'll breastfeed. So, are we ready for this new hit? Ready. And by the way, I think Dr. Seuss would applaud this book. I think he would be totally down for this. Congratulations. Today is the day. You've brought home a brand new baby. You've got formula in a bottle or milk in your breast. You may be exhausted, but you're up for the test. For the mamas who can and who choose to offer boob, these next few lines are just for you. You can breastfeed on a bench. You can breastfeed with a wrench. You can breastfeed at the store. You can breastfeed while you snore. You can breastfeed on the phone. You can breastfeed all alone. You can breastfeed in a crowd. You can breastfeed with a shroud. You can breastfeed on a plane. You can breastfeed with Lil Wayne.
I'm not sure about that one.
She said with, not just breastfeed Lil Wayne, so it flies.
You can breastfeed while using the potty. You can breastfeed while eating manicotti. You can breastfeed with a friend. You can breastfeed while you bend. You can breastfeed in a bed. You can breastfeed in a shed. You can breastfeed at work. You can breastfeed while you twerk. You can breastfeed at the park. You can breastfeed in the dark. You can breastfeed watching crime TV. You can breastfeed on an Amazon shopping spree. You can breastfeed in a chair. You can breastfeed anywhere. You see, Mama, people will try to tell you what to do and where. All you have to do is give them the mama stare. If they don't like it, they can kick rocks. It's 2023. They need to check their clocks. Whether you use a bottle or a boob, Mama, the choosing is up to you. Now do your best to get some rest, for we all know fed is best.
That's fire. Wow.
Take a bow.
Thank you very much.
This is really good.
Shakespeare could never.
I don't think the bard would want anything to do with that. No, actually, I really I know when you write a children's book, you should be happy and in a good place. But the more I started writing different places you should be able to breastfeed, I was actually getting a little fired up about it. I mean, I don't know if Lil Wayne appreciates being in the mix, but, you know.
I appreciate it.
I don't think he would.
No, he would love it.
He would be totally front row at a Lil Wayne concert with your boob out, breastfeeding your baby, I think, I don't know if that would be good for their eardrums. Make sure you have those little headphones on. we will share this. And if you need to, like, if you have a family member that is raising issues about where you are breastfeeding or you're popping a boob out in public, I highly recommend you just read this to them.
And speaking of Lil Wayne, I think Mo should rap this.
Oh, yeah.
Then we can play it. And the baby, you can breastfeed the baby front row at Mo's next concert while he raps this.
Is it feasible to put that into bars?
You rapped it. It would be easy. Okay. They were bars.
Okay.
Yeah. You did good.
Well, I'm not a rapper. You are. So I'm going to leave that up to you and I'll send it to you. So if you want to put a beat to it, I think we covered the children's aspect of it. Uh-huh. And then we can cover the rap aspect of it.
Mo's face, he's like, how am I going to get a producer to buy into this?
I got this. I'll drop the beat.
Done. No, you didn't like the beat? No, these are your lyrics.
The beat look great. Like,
you ain't gonna ruin my book.
The Bert Show.
We call it Follow-Up Thursday. You guys tell us, hey, Bert Show, whatever happened to blank? And in this case, this one was explosive. Linda hits us up. Hey, Bert Show. It's about a year ago that you had a woman on your show. Her husband was cheating on her with her brother's wife. Last I remember, the cheaters agreed to stop and asked her to and asked not to tell her brother. I'd love to know whatever happened. Thank you, Linda Huff.
All right. So Elise and her husband, Jason, have been together for 3 years at the time she reached out to us. She met Jason because of her brother. Her brother and Jason were good friends, and Elise's brother met his wife, Amy, through her husband. But we didn't expect to find out that Jason and Amy dated many years before. So when both of the couples hit a rough patch in their marriage, Elise suspected something was going on. We tested Jason with the War of the Roses. He ordered 2 dozen roses to be sent to Amy with a note that read, "Just another reminder that I can't stop thinking about you, hoping these keep me on your mind too." Elise was crushed, but unsure about how she was going to handle the situation. When we followed up with her, she said she had to do what was right for the family. She didn't tell her brother, but she did confront Jason and Amy, her sister-in-law. The two came clean about their inappropriate behavior and swore nothing physical ever happened. They asked Elise not to tell her brother, and she agreed. Last we heard, Elise and her husband were in counseling, trying to work on their marriage. Did counseling work or not? And also, did the brother ever find out?
So today is Follow-Up Thursday. Mo has got the follow-up in an email.
Hi, Bert Show. Yes, I'll give you a quick update for my own sanity. I'll keep it brief because I don't want to go down a rabbit hole of emotions. Jason and I have been separated for a few months. While I believe nothing further happened between him and Amy, our own marriage had its fair share of issues to work through. We attended counseling for a while and thought we tried to address our concerns and work on our relationship. It ultimately wasn't enough to save our marriage. My brother and Amy are still together, but I don't know the details of their relationship. I've chosen to stay out of it and focus on myself and my own mental health. Handling my own marriage problems have been challenging enough, and I've realized that I need to prioritize my own well-being. What happens in other people's lives are no longer my business or responsibility to fix. It's not easy going through a divorce, but I'm hopeful for the future. I believe that this experience has taught me a lot about what I need and want in a relationship, and I'm working on building a stronger, healthier foundation for myself. Thanks for checking on me. I'm doing fine, just looking to move on. Wishing you all the best, Elise.
Whew. It's a tough one. What do we learn from this one?
Everybody's fair game?
I mean, you really can only control your side of the street, right?
Yeah.
And keep your side clean.
I'm curious. I mean, I'm sure the family had questions when Elise and Jason separated. Like, why? And you can't really say,
because he slept with my brother's wife.
Like, or even though they said nothing physical went on, but
because he had an affair with my brother's wife.
So and she's doing the right thing by her and not worrying about her brother or her brother's relationship. She definitely 100% just needs to focus on her well-being and making her way through this divorce as best and easy as possible.
Yeah, we talk a lot about this on my podcast, the Breakup Breakdown, where there's usually one big inciting incident, but it's never just like one thing that happens, like, oh, there was infidelity, or, oh, he ran off with my sister. Like, there's usually lingering things that are happening throughout the relationship that sort of just like, it's almost purged through this one incident. So even though it sucks and, you know, I would never wish for a relationship to end because it's just so heartbreaking and sad. I mean, I think maybe sometimes those big things have to happen so you can get out of them.
I feel like that also has to be tough if you find yourself in a situation where obviously things went really bad in South for you and you have information of where it would affect someone else, but then you keep it to yourself mm-hmm. because you don't want them to go through what you're going through. So you kind of have to keep this secret and go through it alone, it almost seems like. But that's a tough spot to be in.
You're yeah. suffering in silence.
Yes.
Yeah. I think Abby raises a really good point, too, that you will hear in her podcasts over and over and over again also. Again, it's the breakup breakdown. It's that when people say that, this breakup came out of no. I never saw this coming. 9 out of 10 times, that's BS.
It's always BS because we have like every podcast is like 30 to 45 minutes. And it's never just the whole like, he cheated on me with my mom's sister's brother's cousin. There's always things that are peppered throughout the relationship that usually, to be honest, like people ignore. And then something like this happens and that's how they end up getting out of the relationship.
But very few times. You really have to have your eyes closed to say like, man, I just woke up one morning and he was gone. Or she was no signs. The signs were there. You just were like turning the other way and you didn't want to see him probably. But in a case like this, this is way too complicated for to go back in.
And this poor Elise is always going to have it thrown in her face because that's her brother's wife. So holidays, birthdays, like
you can't run. You can't hide from this one.
No.
The Bird Show.
All right, we got a minute or two here, Kristen.
Yes. All right, so I found a stupid website with a stupid list, and we're a stupid show, so let's do it.
Another win-win all the way around.
So it's what your pizza topping says about you, all right? And it, like, your pizza topping describes your personality. And I read the one for me, and I'm like, this is eerily accurate, so I want to check you guys. And I'll get to mine, but first we're going to start with Bert. And your go-to pizza topping is?
Is new, and Tiffany, my fiance, turned me on to it, and it would be pineapple and jalapeno.
Okay.
Don't sleep on it. I am telling you, you might think initially it sounds gross. It's not.
You
get
the
awesome.
Savory, the sweet, and the spicy.
It's good.
All right, so I don't have like pineapple and jalapeno, but I do have the Hawaiian pizza on here, right? And this, it says you are laid back, self-confident, and quirky. Some people absolutely love the mix of sweet and savory on a Hawaiian pizza. After all, who doesn't love a little pineapple and ham? This topping shows that you have a lackadaisical approach to life, not getting bogged down with worry or anxiety. You aren't necessarily cocky, but you are comfortable with who you are as a person. But it also takes a special type of person to appreciate the Hawaiian flavors. Your friends and family likely enjoy your quirky flair and unique personality.
I disagree. I am cocky, bordering on arrogant.
All right, Mo, your go-to is?
Pepperoni.
You are caring, uncomplicated, and fun. Pepperoni is probably the most popular of all the toppings. What?
We're over there judging me. I think two of the three are right.
Caring, uncomplicated, and fun. I think I know which one.
Complicated. That's the one.
If you are a pepperoni fan, you're likely someone who cares deeply about your loved ones. Your friends and family flock to you because you don't enjoy drama the way some others do. Mm. Even if you sometimes fail, you strive for an uncomplicated, drama-free existence.
That's true.
But uncomplicated doesn't mean simple. You definitely got a fun side. Just make sure you aren't afraid to let it show.
That is me.
Right?
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Right. They've both been pretty accurate.
So. I know. All right, so Cassie, you are what?
Pepperoni, mushroom, and onion.
Okay, so they don't have that specific one, but take the pepperoni. And then we're going to add a mushroom.
All right.
Open, earthy, giving. For some, there's nothing quite like a pizza covered in delicious fresh mushrooms. If you're a mushroom lover, you are likely an open person who is easy to talk with and relate to. Some may make fun of you for your earthiness. But just because you have an appreciation for animals and nature doesn't mean you're necessarily a hippie. People likely flock to you because you are so giving of your time, energy, and love.
Aww, I would say that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, I endorse that. Wow. Cassie's very easy to talk to.
Thank you, Abby.
These are usually pretty stupid, but this is really good.
I know, right? All right, so I am a veggie lover. So I love all veggies. And so mine is sensitive, secretive, and surprising. Who doesn't love a fresh vegetable? So why not load your pizza with as many as you can? A veggie lover may be sensitive, but it doesn't mean you're a baby. You just have an easy access to your emotions, and there's nothing wrong with that. You don't necessarily broadcast everything you're feeling with the world, unless it's your job. However, it may do you some good to practice sharing with others. You possess a secret fire and boldness that will surprise the world if you allow yourself to let it out. And then you...
Do you find that to be accurate about yourself?
I do.
I do too, yeah.
Yeah, I do. And then Abby, yours is...
Margarita pizza. I love like the little ovals of mozzarella.
Okay, so you were very specific, so I gave you specialty pizza.
Tell me I'm special again.
You are creative, wild, and adventurous.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
Who needs we'll a boring, normal topping when you could put literally anything on your pizza? If you like to order something new and strange for your pizza, you're someone who loves to access your creative side. You have a vast imagination. It can sometimes go a little wild. You likely love to dance, cut loose, and get a little crazy.
I do love to dance.
It all sounds pretty accurate.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't know if I would call it adventurous since I literally just said cheese pizza, but but I'll take it.
You are very specific about your cheese.
I'm very specific about a lot of things.
It's a classy cheese pizza, okay? Yes. Margarita.
Margarita.
It's Bircha.
The Bert Show.
Hi, Romeo. You got in over your head, dude, and now you're thinking it's time for a U-turn.
Here I am yet again over my head with another delusional idea of mine. I don't know where this started. Well, I kind of do know, but it's one of those ideas that you kind of throw out there and then it just kind of eats up in the back of your mind. And so, you know, this happened maybe, two, 3 weeks ago, but we were hanging out with the youth group, right? And we were all there, and Abby's mom happened to be there.
Go ahead.
For those that don't know, the Bert Show youngins have now dubbed themselves the Bert Show youth group.
No, yes. This is our Bible study. Yes.
Right. And that consists of Romeo, Abby, Katie, and Rebecca.
Yeah. The young ones.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everybody who's still in their 20s and young and viral. Sorry.
Viral.
No, they're not viral, I promise. They've all been tested. They're good to go.
They're the typhoid Marys.
Yeah. Please date them. They deserve love. Go ahead.
No. So we were all hanging out at a table, and I think Abby's mom started mentioning that she does run marathons, right?
Yeah. She's a runner. She's a track star.
And so she was mentioning this, and I was just like, yeah, I feel like I can run a marathon. I've never, I go to the gym, I don't do any cardio. Like, I think my weightlifting is cardio enough. Mm-hmm. I walk up the stairs every once in a while. I walk down the hallway to get, because you know how my studio is kind of far away? So when I have to come into the studio, like, that's my cardio right there. Wow.
That's plenty of training.
Yeah, that's like as much cardio as I do.
Oh, you ready?
And so when I said this, I was like, yeah, that doesn't sound bad. A marathon, like, quick and easy. I didn't realize quick that a marathon was 26.2 miles, which is an average of like 4 hours and plus of running. Like 4 hours, I think it's if you're really good. And I think it's like 6 or 7 hours if you're like me. Or maybe even 8 hours. So then I started thinking like 8 hours running sounds miserable.
I don't want to do anything for 8 hours except fly somewhere.
Or sleep.
Or sleep.
Ooh,
right.
Sleep, yeah.
So it was this idea that I threw out there where I was just like, I think I can do it. And I think it's maybe because I also, like, I've mentioned to you guys before that I watched this TV show called The Challenge. And, like, in that show, it's a reality show, but they're very physical. Like in the final, they run a lot. So I've always
talked about
this,
The Challenge?
Yeah, The Challenge. Like, the TV show on MTV, right? And so they run a lot, and it's very physical, like, workouts. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I'm always like, I think if I put my mind to it, I could do it.
You could.
Yeah, right? And so
You wouldn't, have the greatest time.
I don't
know. But you would be able to cross the finish line. I don't know about a full marathon, but I think a half marathon. Because I did the same thing. This was like, KK, 10 years ago, I would not be able to do it now. And it was an accident. I agreed to do a half, you remember this? Uh-huh. With the Rally Foundation? Uh-huh. It's about raising money for kids with cancer, right? So how am I going to say no to this? And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll do a half marathon. I'll do a team, blah, blah, blah. That's because I thought a half marathon and a 5K were the same thing. There's a significant difference.
Americans don't math well.
No. Yeah, there's about 10 miles difference.
You start putting Ks on the back of numbers, and we don't really know what that means.
And they did training. Like, we were supposed to, like, meet with the coach and do training and stuff like that, which I did once. So literally, and I do not recommend this. It was not easy at all, but physical shape KK from 10 years ago was able to do a half marathon with no training. I think you could do it, but it's not going to be fun.
I'll give you a little bit of a different perspective on that, because Kristen didn't even know what she was training for. I bit off a little more than I could chew also, and it had to do with cancer. It was Leukemia Society at the time, and I signed up for an inline skating challenge, right? And I had never been on blades before. And I decided, how hard can this be?
Oh, I remember that.
Right? So I could sign up for the half marathon or the full marathon. And I'm like, as I told you guys yesterday, I'm usually all in or nothing. So I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And it was called the A to A, and it ended up being 82 miles on inline skates. This was before I ever moved to Georgia. I knew nothing about Georgia. We skated from Athens to Atlanta. And I skated for a girl that had leukemia, right? And I hated every second of it. I have not put skates on, those inline skates, since I see a pair and I start getting scared. But along the way, quite honestly, the pride I had on training, doing something I didn't like at all for 4 months, and the camaraderie that comes with training also, and then finishing this massive goal, I cried and cried and cried after it, because it was such an accomplishment, was something that I've leaned on way more than just that day, probably my whole life.
I believe you could do this. And I did some quick research. They say to leave about 14 weeks of training for a half marathon. I think Kristen's idea was right. And there's one in early August near us that you could sign up, and it'll meet that. Like, it'll give you about 15 weeks worth of training.
What do you think?
Okay.
What do you think?
I think you can do this. I totally believe you can do this.
Yeah. Half marathon doesn't sound that bad.
It's bad. It's 13.1 miles.
It's half as bad as a full marathon.
But it's the accomplishment along the way, and it's the training and getting those little wins, man. It's a game changer, dude. You really should do it.
I'm going to do it.
You gotta do it.
Yeah. You said August?
Yeah.
Yeah,
August.
We're doing it.
All right.
That's a verbal commitment.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You got this.
All right. Side bets start as soon as he leaves the studio.
The Burt Show.
If you can't get enough of The Burt Show, did you know we have bonus episodes? Yep, you can actually sign up for bonus episodes at theburtshow.com/bonusbs. If you've been watching the hit series on HBO Max, now called Max Last of Us, there is a moral question I ask everybody on the show, and everybody's answers are very different. And also, Mo's sister going out of country with a stranger, a guy she has just met, and they're going to go travel together. Good idea or bad idea? All our bonus BS, you can sign up at theburtshow.com/bonusbs.
There you are at the mall with your new boyfriend. You guys are doing some shopping, and you run into your ex while you're with your current. And then all of a sudden, this shot of not only adrenaline, but also like a small attraction comes back to you, right? Can you fully embrace your new relationship if those feelings are real?
I feel like this debate has been going on forever, and me and my two dudes got into a debate about this after I witnessed one of my friends go through it in real time. And now I'm kind of confused on which side of it to be on because of the way that the two of them debated this for like a full hour. And it started because a friend of mine, well, we were all out, like a group thing, and a friend of mine was with his new love interest. They've been dating. It's not been too long, but it's going on like about a year. So it's long enough. And we all went to this place to celebrate one of his accomplishments. Now, I don't know exactly why his ex was there, but his ex was there.
Was she invited, or did she just happen to be there at the same location?
He says she just happened to be there.
Okay. Mm.
And I believe him, because I don't think he would have put himself in this position.
Yeah.
To where it would have, like, probably messed up something with his new interest.
Unless somebody invited her without him knowing?
Which is possible. Mm-hmm. That was a whole nother situation that we were trying to figure out. But she claims that it was a coincidence, and that's what I guess he was running with. But the issue was, as the night started to progress, like, at first it was like an awkward thing of, you know, wow, what is she doing here? How is this going to go? And his new girl didn't know. Like, she doesn't know what his ex looks like. So for a while, she didn't even know she was there.
That's for the best.
Right. So I'm kind of like, I'm enjoying it because I know, and he knows, and my other friend knows, but everybody else doesn't know. So you can literally see just like the tension and just everything wash over him the moment he puts together what's going on. So I guess she kind of pondered on what the right thing to do was in this situation for a while, on if she should come say hello or if she shouldn't. And she actually asked me. She was like, you know, should I say hello? Or what do you think I should do? I said, let him come say hello. And if he doesn't, then let it be. Yeah. Like, there's no need to go over there and, you know, let him do his thing.
Solid advice.
She ain't take it.
Okay. Classic.
Next thing I know, I saw her walking over, and I was like, well, here we go. Mm-hmm. And she taps him on the shoulder. Mm-hmm.
All right. So just want to throw this out there as a possibility. I don't think he invited her, but his friends knew.
Do you think she found out this was going down and she just happened to be at the same spot?
It's a lot of places in this city.
It is.
To just be hanging out.
That's what I think happened.
Okay, like she found out through like third parties or whatever that he was having this like small intimate gathering to celebrate a success. And she's like, well, maybe I'll just happen to be at the same restaurant at the same time on the same night.
Now, if not, and she really was just there randomly, isn't that the universe putting them together?
Possibly.
Maybe.
Yeah, if it's random.
I think her middle name might be Universe.
Because there's a lot of places in this town.
That's true.
It's a lot of time in the day to be there at that exact time. Either that's calculated or it's the universe.
And we did think about that when we were trying to figure out if this was kind of like something that was meant to be. So the fact that she walked over there and spoke to him is what made me think that you're right, Kristen, that she probably mapped this entire thing out. She didn't make a scene of it or anything, but she just said hello. Now, I don't think she anticipated him being there with a new girl. I think she figured he would have just been alone or with his boys, and maybe she can, you know, see what's going on.
Do you know if she's dating anybody?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So she walks over, she says hello, and it was very awkward. So awkward to the fact where I was making fun of my friend because I'm like, you could have played that off like a little better, but he didn't play it off well at all. You can tell he was like disheveled. He was thrown off.
Yeah.
So the new girl was like, what was that about? And then he did something else I didn't think he should have did. He was honest. And he told the truth.
Don't do that.
No, you have to if she asked you.
I don't know why I did that.
Sometimes 3%, man. I'm telling you. 3% lies in a relationship.
No,
that's fine.
Those are little white lies. That would be a big lie if he sat there and told her, oh, it's just some girl I know from work. No, you have to be honest.
Back in the day.
No.
Yeah. How would you tell somebody I knew back in the day? drinks. I would have gave her the details later. He gave them to her right there. And
was it a bad breakup?
No, okay. It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was just one of those like we're not for each other kind of things. And the rest of the night, you can just feel everything shifted. Like his focus was kind of on her. The new girl's focus was kind of on her.
Well, yeah, duh. I'm going to have laser eyes on her for the rest of the evening.
Right. And she sat like not next to us, but from a distance to where we could see each other from where we were both sitting. And I don't know how much his girl noticed it. But I noticed it, like, he kept looking over there. At first, I thought it was, like, a uncomfortable thing of, like, what is she doing? Where is she?
Mm-hmm.
But the more he was looking and the more we were drinking, I was like, no, I know those eyes.
Longing?
Huh?
Longing?
Yes, those are spinning the block bedroom eyes. I know them. And so I kind of actually tapped him when I had a chance to and went, hey, man, stop looking at your old girl as much. Like, women pick up on that very, very easily.
I was going to ask you if you smacked him upside his head.
I hit him on the knee.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I'm not doing that. It was so obvious. So, of course, by the time they got home, they got into an argument over it. And then that's where it all started, of where she felt like, you can't be that into me if you were sitting in there still looking at her the way you were looking at her.
I agree with that.
He feels like two things can be true. And that's where the debate started, of I am into you. I want to be with you. That just threw me off. And yes, we have a history. We had a chemistry. So a part of him, I guess, still likes her. But he doesn't desire her. That was his thing. I don't want to be with her, but I can't sit here and act like I don't still have something for her. That would be a lie.
I respect that.
But I want to be where I am. And he feels like both of those things can be true, which kind of turned me because I was with you, Bert. I'm like, nah, you can't have somebody new and still have a... But the way he broke it down in such a mature way of like, I'll always have something with her. It's like, she had a piece of my heart. It is what it is. It was real. But ultimately, I'm going for a reason. I chose you. So he doesn't feel like because I may have had a moment of, wow, she looked good tonight and a little flashback. That doesn't necessarily mean that he is not completely 100% committed to his new girl.
Especially if that's the first time they've crossed paths since the breakup. Which I'm assuming it is.
It is.
Okay.
And I've never heard him, like, mention her or really talk about it. Because I did talk about him after. And I'm like, be honest. Like, and he's like, you know, I don't want to go back. He's like, I'm not going to sit here and say as a man, if we had a moment, I would. But he ain't tell his new girl that.
Yeah, of course.
Right. But he's saying, I don't want to be with her, though. That's my past.
I'm still attracted to her, but I don't want to be with her.
Right.
I'm out.
It brought up some feelings.
That's all I need to hear,
man. You would be gone.
Yeah. I mean, if he's being authentic and he's still like, let's say 25% of his heart, because he said that she'll always have a piece of my heart. Well, how much? 25%? 25% is too much. It's got to be 2%. And no more than 2%.
You would need the numbers.
Yes.
Okay.
You're like a gallon of milk over there.
Skim. No. I'm looking for no fat. No love. No attraction. All right, I'm out.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show Fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.